I'm Nigel Farage,
and I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
Bromley Today with Mick Smith.
And there you are. Welcome along to Bromley Today for Wednesday, the 29th of November. Wow, November went quick, didn't it? Yes, last day of the month, tomorrow, Thursday, the 30th of November. But let's carry on with Wednesday, the 29th of November. And in the broadcast today, we will have an interview with a brave lady who talks about her new book and why it's important for people to reach out and get therapy and how much it helped her after going through years as a victim of child abuse, but living with the memory of that for many, many years to come as well. We'll also have the latest weather for Bromley. Also, some top tunes, and we'll see what else we've got going on here in Bromley. And of course, what to do, where to go, and anything else we can think of. Treat her like a lady.
Like the lady.
The Temptations, Treat Her Like a Lady.
Email in to BromleyRadio at gmail.com or Twitter, X, at BromleyRadio1.
Such a feeling's coming over me. Everything I see, not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me, and the reason is clear, it's because you are. Same in the leaves on the trees and the touch of the breeze is a pleasing sense of happiness for me. There is only one wish on my mind. When this day is through, I hope that I will find that tomorrow will be just the same for you and me.
The Carpenters and Top of the World. It's Mick Smith with the Bromley Today for Wednesday the 29th of November. Hope you're doing all right. How was your Wednesday today? Well, it was bright, wasn't it, for a while? But cold. Hopefully your day was bright. Although I must admit, I did feel like staying in bed longer today. I think I did. Didn't go out, stayed in. Wasn't much to do, so plenty to do here in the studio, of course. And just as well, I was here as well. So that's pretty much been our day here at Bromley Radio. Maybe you'd like to let us know about your day. Or week, month. Your life, anything. You can email into us at BromleyRadio@gmail.com. That's BromleyRadio@gmail.com. Now, earlier today, we had an interview with a lady called Patricia, and she's written a book after her experiences as being a victim of child abuse, and now she's a woman, and it came to many, many years of coming to terms with it, and she sought help and got therapy. Not easy, because most of it was out of her pocket, And in this day and age, with all the strains put on the national health system, she just wanted to say how much of a help it was getting the correct type of therapy, and so much so that she's actually written a book, and she's here to tell us about her book.
Hello, my name is Tricia. I've written a memoir which is about my experience of how psychotherapy enabled me to work through the impact of abuse in my childhood. My memoir is called Because It Didn't Stop When It Ended. And the reason I wrote this book is because I wanted to share how amazing the experience of therapy can be in helping someone, and I'll talk about me in the first person, helping me to work through a lot of pain, to reach a part of me that had become frozen in time because of the trauma that I was living with because of the abuse I experienced as a child. And there's been a lot of talk about institutional abuse, and there's been the inquiry into historical child sexual abuse, which has come up with its recommendations for mandatory reporting, which I fully support. But it doesn't really talk about abuse in the family, and mandatory reporting doesn't relate to abuse in the family by family members and friends. It relates to people that carry out what they call regulated activities, whether that's paid employment or from a volunteer point of view, or it could be people in religious institutions, but anyone that's working with children or vulnerable people. But my book talks about how therapy helped me. My book talks about how it tells the story of how hard it is to live with the trauma that you're left with as an adult survivor of abuse in childhood. What do I know about you and what do I care? Whatever happened to you, it wasn't fair that you hurt me and you were so cruel. Couldn't you see I was just a little girl who loved you and needed you to be loving and caring to the child that was me? How could you do it? Why didn't you try to be a better person instead of denying me the right of a safe, secure childhood where I could develop and grow as I should? Didn't you know? Didn't you understand the pain I was suffering at your hand? Why did you do it? Couldn't you see the harm, the damage you were doing to me? Not just at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, but all the years of a living hell since then. Now do you know? Now do you care? How can you? You're dead and not aware. If I could have told you, I know that I'd say I missed you when you went away, but I hated what you were doing to me. And it's only now that I can see the trauma, the pain, and the enormity of the damage you did and the impact on me. I want you to know and to understand the pain I'm still suffering at your hand. Because it didn't stop when it ended, I got on with my life and just pretended nothing was wrong, and that was instead of telling anyone I wish I was dead. I still feel that way some of the time, such is the impact of your wicked crime. So I hope that gives some indication of how hard it is for adults who've been abused as children and the need for therapy. And part of the reason I wrote my book was to raise awareness, to give survivors hope and to raise awareness and hope that, for me, I would, in my lifetime, see therapy available that's accessible for people who couldn't normally pay. So there are many people in our society that can pay £70, £100 for a 50-minute therapy session. They may even need that 3 times a week, which I certainly did. I didn't have to pay for mine. It was provided by the Women's Service, Oxford's NHS Foundation Trust, but it's not available like it used to be. And there are so many hundreds of thousands of people who, like me, found a way of surviving, struggling. And for many years, I just existed in the life I had, knowing something was wrong, but not quite knowing what it was. I knew I'd been abused, but I didn't realise it was the abuse that left me feeling at odds, feeling like I didn't belong. Mm. And therapy changed that.
And Tricia, obviously, you're one of the many, many silent sufferers, I think it would be fair to say. And of course. How did you turn the corner? Who was it that you turned to and then said what happened? And how did you get the advice of getting therapy?
Yeah, that's really interesting because it was like a process, I suppose. I had a career in social work, and of course I was aware of various services that were available, but I actually didn't know about the woman. As a teenager, I used to go to the Bromley Y, which is a local service, and I knew it back in the day when it was above Marks and Spencer's in Bromley High Street. And we'd go in there and it would be like a pop-in, like a youth centre. They didn't provide counselling back then. But they were a place that felt safe. And as they evolved into a counselling organisation for young people, I gradually, well, I lost touch with them as I grew up. But when I became a young adult, I found them again and I went to see them. And I had some, not really counselling so much, but I had that trusting relationship with them. But I still didn't tell them for a long time what had happened to me. I'd certainly didn't tell them as a child. Yeah. So in my adult years, I started to talk about it more. You know, it's often a trigger for survivors when they have children. That instinct to protect your child is so strong. And it was a trigger for me around that when I was bringing my children up. And I didn't find out about the woman's service independently. Someone else was talking about it. We were just having a conversation and they were talking about it. And through that person, I then found out about this service that provides therapy. Okay. And I went there to see the head at the time, a lady named Maggie, and she did an assessment to see whether or not I'd be suitable for therapy there. And she decided I was. And that's when I started having therapy with a lady called Hillary, who was absolutely amazing. And I met with her for 5 years, all the time she worked there at the centre, at the service I was sitting in. And it was a really difficult, it was a difficult service to come across. I stumbled across it. It wasn't advertised, and I understand why. Because if a service like that advertises, they'll never be able to provide for all the people that would be needing their service.
Yes. So it's kind of like word of mouth recommendation type thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you still continue to go to therapy?
No. After I stopped seeing Hillary because she had to retire on medical grounds, which was very sad because she nor I wanted that to happen, obviously. And I then had a few months break, but then I continued with some therapy for a few years after that. But I was paying for it by this time because my financial situation changed and I was in a position to pay. And I was glad to pay when I could afford to. But the 5 years that I saw Hillary, there's absolutely no way I could have afforded to have paid for it. And that's one of the problems, that most people who would benefit from therapy cannot afford it. And the NHS are struggling, as everybody knows. You know, there's so much demand on that resource. And offering people 10 weeks cognitive behavioural therapy or 6 to 10 weeks counselling isn't going to be sufficient to work with somebody who's had trauma in their childhood. It needs to be long term.
Yes, and that, you're quite right. People that actually need the help, and now they're told, well, you're going to have to wait 6 months before you can see a specialist. And that's too long, way too long. You know, you need the help now, the emergency now.
Yeah, the waiting list is too long. Yeah. And when the person's available for you, who may be very good at their job and give you a great experience, they're only able to see you for 6 weeks or 10 weeks. And altogether, I had therapy over a 10-year period. Half of that I paid for, but the first half I didn't. And I couldn't have. So I would have had to have waited another 5 or 6 years before I could have afforded to pay for therapy.
Wow.
And you when you're ready for therapy, when you know that you really need some help with dealing with how you're feeling, you need it straight away. And mental health services aren't necessarily at the right place. And you know, doctors will prescribe antidepressants. I never needed antidepressants. I didn't need somebody to treat me with medication. I didn't need that. I needed to be able to talk to somebody where I could build up a trusting relationship and work through the impact of the abuse I'd suffered, work on the trauma I'd been left with. And that's talking therapy. For some people, it's art therapy, but art therapy does also include talking therapy. You know, there are therapists that uses art to help a person express, and that could be clays or sometimes it's dolls or it's sand. It could be anything, a painting, drawing. It's that method, but it's still a talking therapy, even if they use art to help the person express themselves.
Oh, yes, it's a form of communication, especially if the person hasn't got the, I don't know, they wouldn't be able to get the right adjectives to actually describe how they're feeling. So it's like, well, show us, kind of thing, and then it can be interpreted and questions can be asked about that afterwards, I presume.
Yeah, and the therapist at the woman's service was trauma-informed, so that's another issue, that not all therapists and counsellors are trauma-informed. And it's so important that anyone that a person sees understands why it's so difficult for them to talk about what's happened to them, that the things they remember might confuse. I can remember, it's written in my book, and if people want to read the full story, because I used a journal to write down how I felt during the whole of my therapy experience. So when I wrote my book, I used all the entries that are in the book are from my journal, and the poetry's from my journal. So even though I'm writing a book retrospectively, everything I write was real time at the time. Mm-hmm. So none of it's been altered or changed. It's pure as it was in my journal. Obviously, I've lifted bits out and I haven't used it all, but I've put it in context so that people can experience the process of therapy with me as I experienced it.
Yes. So tell us where one can get your book.
Okay, so I use my full name as author, which is Patricia M. Wennell, and my book is published by Gutenberg Press, and it's available on Amazon.
A cloak you wear.
the Walker Brothers and the Sun Ain't Going to Shine Anymore. That's what it says here. It's not my bad pronunciation. All right, one more, and then we've got some interesting quotes again for you.
One can have a dream, baby.
Two can make that dream so real.
One can talk about being in love.
Two can say how it really feels.
One can worship on a star.
Two can make that wish come true, yeah.
One can stand alone in the dark.
Two can make the light shine through.
It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Me and you. Just take two. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Make a dream come true. Just take two. One can have.
Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, It Takes Two. Ah, there you are. Well, we have some interesting... I'll say that again. We have some interesting quotes about beauty. For example, beauty always comes from within. Within jars, tubes, and compacts. Beauty is power. A smile is its sword. Beauty and honesty seldom agree. Beauty in distress is much the most affecting beauty. Beauty without virtue is a flower without perfume. And that's a French proverb. Daisy one. Sorry. Beauty is a short-lived reign. Socrates said that one. Rare is the union of beauty and modesty.
I'm Nigel Farage.
And I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
Bigger, brighter and better.
Bromley Radio.
Barry White, you're the first, my last, my everything. You certainly are. One from the Beatles, and then we'll have some more bits of advice. The Beatles, and All You Need Is Love. And it's quite, let's turn that fire down a bit. It is cold out there. Obviously we've got the fire on here in the studio. Which reminds us, Saturday the 22nd of December, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m, the Glade Shopping Centre. And there will be people joining together to join the branch of the People's South East London Action Group to highlight fuel poverty. So that's happening there at the Glade Shopping Centre, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And whilst we've got fire going here, and we're gathered around the fire here, parents speak, a guide to interpretation. So when your parents said this to you, this is what they really meant. And where does your friend live? It really means, is he middle class like us? Wait until your birthday, you'll have forgotten about it by then. We'll see. No. Don't answer back, you're right, I'm wrong. Ask your mother. Let her take responsibility. My dad used to say that. Wait until your father gets home. Let him take responsibility. Don't be cheeky. Don't argue rationally with me. We only want you to do your best. You'd better not come last. Haven't you got any homework? Go away and leave us alone. Would you like a little brother or sister? You're getting one. Bromley resident Nigel Farage is in the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And yes, controversially, been in the news today because we're getting close to when the first votes for people to get kicked out, and something was released to the Daily Express. And strangely enough, they wanted to make contact with him, but obviously he can't contact anyone because he's in the jungle for a comment. However, one episode, I think he was hardly in it, and it turns out the editors have been editing away. Those cameras are rolling all the time, so basically what we're watching, although it seems live, is edited highlights. And they got cameras, and obviously after a while you forget you got your camera on and or your microphone on, and so yes, you're going to say things. However, another one has left, and that is Jamie Lynn Spears. She's the sister of Brittany Spears. She has left I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on medical grounds. Now that's the second one, the second lady to leave I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on medical grounds.
I'm Nigel Farage.
And I'm very pleased to be on Bromley Radio.
For the days when we can do no wrong, for the
The Pretenders and Let's Get Married. And if you've been listening to this as a podcast,
good night and good luck to you all.